In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.
Amen.
Amen. Where do you go when there is nowhere else to go? Where do you go when everything falls apart? What do you do? Some of us call what I call hunker down. We find the most remote place we can think of and hole up for a while. I think of hunkering down as going into our bedroom and pulling the covers over our heads and waiting until it's safe to come out. I also think of hunkering down as going down into a shelter, perhaps a bomb shelter. When I was a little girl, there were lots of bomb shelters in towns and cities all across the United States. How you knew there was a bomb shelter was that there was a little sign with a triangle in the middle and the letters CD, Civil Defense. I noticed them whenever I was walking along the street in any city. And I mostly noticed them in my hometown of Alexandria, Virginia. The one that I noticed most was in the main post office building on Washington Street. On the first floor of the building was the post office, and on the second floor was the United States Courthouse. As you walked in the side door to the post office, there was that familiar CD triangle sign. It was over a door through which you could see stairs going downstairs. There was a closed gate in front of the steps. I was fascinated. What was down there? When would I go there? If I heard the air raid sirens, would I have time to find my parents before I went? Would we be separated? How would I find them again? Once I was down in the shelter, what was there? Was it like my Aunt Emma's basement that had the shelves of canned Vienna sausages and Campbell's soup? Was there a cot for me to sleep on? How long would we stay down there? How would we know when it was safe to leave? Of course, at the time, I really didn't think that I knew that it was those shelters were in case of nuclear attack. I thought it was for some sort of air raid, World War II style. But that's what I think of when I think of hunkering down in a time when we're afraid, hiding out, putting our heads under the covers until it all goes away and the coast is clear. But there is a different kind of response to those moments when everything falls apart. There is a place of safety that's just a bit different. On A Prairie Home Companion, Garrison Keillor tells the story of the storm home. Most of you know that Lake Wobegon is the fictional town on the northern Minnesota prairie where the women are strong, the men are good-looking, and the children are all above average. On the northern prairie, children still travel a good distance to school. And on the northern prairie, a sudden winter storm can be life-threatening. So in preparation for a winter snow emergency, each child in Minnesota is assigned a storm home. Abby Carlson can tell me if this is true. A storm home is a place near the school where the child will go and stay if the weather becomes too treacherous to travel. As Garrison Keillor tells it in Lake Wobegon, on the first day of school, slips of paper are given to each child. And on the paper is written these words, "Your storm home is with the family." In his wondering way, Garrison Keillor always wondered about his storm home family one year. His storm home family were the Krugers. And the Krugers were an elderly couple. They were kindly. They were very old. They had an impeccable white wood home with a fence around a large yard. And on normal school days, little Garrison would walk by the house and wonder what it would be like if he had to take refuge there. He imagined that inside there would be a crackling fireplace. At supper that night, there would be delicious meatloaf, maybe a cup of hot cocoa, and in his room for the night, there would be a quilted blanket on the bed. And when he imagined those storm home scenes, little Garrison Keeler also imagined that it all happened because one day, elderly, kindly Mr. Krueger had walked over to the principal's office at his school, and he'd seen Garrison at play in the schoolyard. And he stopped and pointed to Garrison and said to the principal, "There, that little boy over there, we would like him for our storm child this year." The fact that he had a storm home family made Garrison feel secure. He felt a connection to the Krugers. He felt special and loved. Even though he never did get to spend a night at the Krugers, never had the meatloaf or warm cocoa or slept in the quilted bed. That year at school in Lake Wobegon, there was never a winter storm that made the trek home from school a dangerous one. In fact, he never met the Krugers. By the time he was old enough to really, truly meet them, they had moved south to be with their children. But being their storm home child for a year had a great effect on Garrison Keeler. When things go wrong and there is nowhere left to go, there is a big difference between hunkering down in a civil defense shelter in the basement of a government building and being enfolded in the home of a family, even a family that you never will know. We don't really know a lot about the lives of Mary and Joseph at the time of Jesus' birth, but what all of us that knows someone about to have a baby, I mean ready to have a baby right now, is that there comes a time where you have no other choice but to find a place, any place, to have that baby. Scholars think that even though the Gospel of Luke has been translated to make us imagine that there was an inn and then far away a manger in a stable, what probably was the case is that it really wasn't an inn or a stable in the sense that we think of inn or stable. Homes in first century Palestine were often two-story with many common areas. The second floor was the living space with guest rooms, which in Bethlehem at census time would have been full. But on the first floor, the animals usually slept, and it wasn't at all unusual to have overflow guests sleep there. So many scholars think that's where Mary and Joseph ended up. They couldn't get the guest room. They had to settle for the animals' room underneath. It probably was not cold or out of the way. It was in the thick of the family life of that home. Not hunkering down in a makeshift shelter, but living into the life of a new community. In a sense, it was a storm home. Why do we make the effort to come out on Christmas Eve? Come out late at night each year, when we are nice and relaxed and rather be turning in for a good night's sleep. Why get up and come here to hear the story we know so well once again? Perhaps it's because we hope that for all of us, when we have nowhere left to go, that God will welcome us into a safe place as God welcomed Mary, Joseph, and God's own son, Jesus. On those days when we find we are up against a wall of despair, a wall of illness, a wall of grief, God is there to point us out and say, "There, there, right over there, that little boy, that little girl is my storm child, and we will have shelter from the storm." Amen.